Okay, if you turn to the inside of your bulletins, you'll notice we have a sermon outline there printed for you that you can follow along with us. And I've entitled the sermon this morning, Missional Gospel. And our text is coming to us from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Missional Gospel. What is the mission of the church? What is our goal as a church? It's all about the gospel. It's all about the gospel. Sometimes I think that Christians believe our highest goal in church and in Western countries is to come to a church and sit down and listen to some guy stand up and preach a sermon, or to come and hear some singing and then go on with our day and rest of the week. Well, really, as Christians, we have our highest goal in the gospel, to send forth the gospel to all nations. That's the Christian endeavor. We do it by keeping attendance in worship services, yes. We have great programs here for kids. We like to have people come to the church, but as Christians, our mission is to go outside the church, go into the world. The mission and the goal of the church is sharing this gospel and leaving the results to God. We look at 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4 this morning, and I read that for you. It says there, "You know, brothers and sisters, that our vision to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi. As you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you His gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our very hearts." Daring to tell the gospel. This letter was written to the Thessalonican church around 50 AD. That means Paul, Silas, and Timothy had probably been in Thessalonica around 15 to 20 years earlier. They stayed there for a period of time and were forced out of the area. Now, in the ancient world, there's a lot of wandering teachers, and different teachers would come by the church and teach. And some of these wandering teachers were really snake oil salesmen, guys that were there just to get a dollar, to trick the Christians into paying them and giving them a living. These people were, of course, coming into great difficulty given that there were so many different people coming to them and trying to trick them all the time into various different teachings. And so when Paul came back to the church and he even writes to the church that he is the authentic thing, he is the one that doesn't come with flattering words or eloquent talk, but rather he's about trying to see God's glory and God's work in the church. While other people were slandering Paul, Paul came out and said, "No, I am not here for myself. I am here for God." They accused Paul, and yet he dared to give them the gospel. Oppositions of sorts showed Paul to be the authentic teacher. He had a message of the gospel that was powerful, and he knew the gospel was powerful, and so he brought that to the people. Secondly, he knew that the message of the gospel was transformational. And thirdly, that the message of the gospel was indeed commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is therefore willing to suffer anything to bring that gospel to the people, even if they doubt him and they even slander him. He is still willing to come Because he knows that gospel is so precious to the people. We read in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 and 14. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it had become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Paul says, I'm in prison because of the gospel. But I praise God because even in my suffering in prison here, it's emboldened other Christians to dare, just in the same manner, to proclaim this wonderful gospel. Well, the gospel isn't a trick, and we see this in our text as well, that a trick involves getting something out of someone by some means that isn't too honest. It's maybe telling a lie or doing something to convince listeners and then taking advantage of them. My first reaction when I hear a phone call and the person on the other line is saying, congratulations, you have just won a free trip to Hawaii. I say, thank you, bye, click. When someone offers you something for free and you are wondering what should be my response, our immediately human response is, yeah, I'd really like to get that thing for myself and to really enjoy it. But the result is that usually there's a little hook in that piece of meat, isn't there? And as soon as you bite down on it, you're trapped. So if you say, wow, I won a free trip to Hawaii, the guy on the other end says, yeah, you did, and I just need your visa number, you know, to confirm that, and I want to, identify you. And so then they have you on the hook, and they're reeling you in, and you're a big fish. Oh. Well, Paul faced the same kind of dubious crowd before him when he was talking about the gospel, because the gospel was the truth. And there's three aspects of the gospel that Paul points out to us. Paul assured them that it was truth that he was preaching to them, not coming to them with impure motives. He was altruistic in the way he came to them, not wanting to gain something from them, but to give them something. And it was also not tricky, but purely benevolent, to care, to love, to give to others. This is the aspect and the attitude of the gospel. Paul means to demonstrate his sincerity of motives, his willingness to suffer for the privilege of sharing that gospel with them. And it's indeed in suffering that the gospel gets its true value, because then we can see it for what it truly is, as something of love. Paul means to demonstrate his sincerity of his motives. So why was Paul so fixated on giving this thing called, he calls the gospel? He knew that there was something great at stake. He knew that there was an eternal destiny that was in the balance, that people could receive this great, great treasure. No one can be saved except through the hearing of the Word of God. And so he desired to deliver that message to them. Paul knew that there was nothing more important in all the world than this gospel of Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing was more important. Thirdly, the content of the gospel. So what is the gospel? Well, I give you a few aspects of it here on the PowerPoint. It's a story of God's character of holiness, his creation of man, man's rebellion against God, his sin saying, I don't want what God has to offer. Yet God giving us his own dear Son to show us how much he loves us and cares about us. And that Son being willing to go to a cross to die for our sins, my sins. And in so believing that Jesus has died for my sins, we have a cleansing, a forgiveness of our sins before a holy God. That's the message of a good news. That's the message of the gospel. And that man doesn't live on his own, but he has a mission now. And he has the gospel within him, knowing the great treasure that he bears that for others. Man promised eternal life and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, that we don't accomplish the proclamation of the gospel on our own, but we accomplish it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lastly, God entrusts us with the gospel. To be entrusted with the gospel is to be given a life-giving message. A life-giving message. To be entrusted with the gospel is to be given the keys to restoring God's relationship with His own dear children. It's entrusted with the gospel and given the greatest job that we could ever have in this life, from God Himself. We share a message of God's love, God's grace, God's peace to mankind. We have been given this great gospel, and we celebrate it today in taking these communion elements that we have before us. I'm going to welcome our ushers up to help us to serve the communion elements today. Let's bow our heads as they come. Lord Jesus, we look upon You today as the One that was crucified for our sins. We pray today as we take these elements that You would be so glorified as we witness to the fact by taking these elements that we have indeed received Your gospel. And we thank You that, Lord, the gospel is not just for us, but is for all nations, for all people, for all tongues. Lord, we pray today that You'll help us take that gospel, that message, and give it to others as well. We ask these things in our powerful name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. We ask you to hold on to the bread, the wafer, until all have received it. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're welcome to partake with us. Hold on to the element till all are received, and then we'll be standing up together and taking and partaking of the bread together as a body. Let's stand together, shall we? Jesus, on that fateful night, took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you." Let's partake together. Please be seated. Let's stand together. Perhaps some of you, we might have been a little shy on the cups, so some of you might have missed out. I think that's something the Lord has maybe given to us today, because there are many Christians around the world that cannot fellowship, don't have a church to meet in, don't have a place to have a cup, and can't fellowship with other Christians. I think it's a good reminder to us that this is such a blessing to be able to receive of these elements and to remind us of God's brokenness for us, His shed blood for us. We have a great treasure in each other and having this opportunity, but yet there's many around the world that don't and are suffering terribly because they're Christians, because they know the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to partake today in regards to that, but I want you to. So Jesus on that night took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Take you all of it. Let's partake together." Please be seated. Thank you for participating with us. And those that didn't receive a cup, our apologies to you. You are also a part of the family of God. It's not so much in the cup as in our unity in Christ and our unity with each other. May God strengthen you as you walk before Him in this day. May you find His love for you overcomes all obstacles. Let's bow in silent prayer and then be dismissed.